Jesus, I love you so. Tell him one more time. I love you so much, Jesus, I love you so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we give him a praise offering this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How much do you love him this morning? Amen. Is he worth everything?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with you this morning. Amen. Just greet you in the name of the Lord. And let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we change the order of the service this morning. Father, we are grateful, Lord, to be able to stand here this morning, Lord. Lord, to enter into this building, Lord, that's been dedicated, Lord, for your praise and for your word to go forth. But Lord, we stand before you, each individual this morning, as dedicated temples, Lord, for your presence to dwell, Lord. For you said, I will be with you, even in you, until the end of the age. So Lord, we're grateful for your presence this morning, Lord, in this place and in our lives. And Father, we just ask that you would have your way, Lord. As, Lord, your word goes forth, Father, may it find a suitable bedding ground, Lord, in the hearts of the people this morning. Lord, may we not have stony hearts. May we not have stony ground, Lord. But may we have good ground, Lord, where the word, like a seed, can be planted, Lord, and it can be watered and it can bring forth fruit in our lives, where it can grow and produce, Lord, what you intended it to produce, that we would be sons and daughters of the living God, living here on earth and showing forth, Lord, your grace and your glory and your character, Lord, to this world. Father, we just appreciate all that you've done for us, Lord. You've provided everything that we have need of. Lord, if there's a need here in this body this morning, Lord, we know that there's already a provision made for it. All we have to do is ask and reach out by faith, Lord, according to your promise, and take a hold of it and take possession of it. Lord, because you've purchased it for us at Calvary, Lord. You've purchased our healing. You've purchased our deliverance. You've purchased our salvation. Lord, so may we just be open this morning to receive everything that you have for us. Lord, and I pray that you would grant these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you this morning. Let's just turn in our Bibles this morning into 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be just speaking out of the few verses here in 1 Peter this morning. Amen. Our pastor, as I believe was mentioned, is traveling and preaching there up in Alaska. And if you've ever been to Alaska, you know that this is not the most pleasant time of year to be there, unless you really like freezing. But it's quite cold, and you know that this time of year would be the time of year when they would, you know, have storms and things like that. So we want to remember them in prayer and pray for their safety and for the success of the meetings that they're having. But you know, when they travel out to those places out, especially when they go out to Chibok, you know, it's not, they take small airplanes, right? And it's not, I guess what I'm trying to say is you're exposed, right? There's risk involved. And so we just want to pray, amen, that God would grant them safe travel and just that he would be with them. Amen? Amen. 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 Are you glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Happy to be in the house of God.
Yes.
Amen. Happy to be a Christian.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. I want you to say, it's reserved in heaven for me. For me. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. May the Lord bless His word this morning. Amen. Amen. This morning we want to speak about our rewards of our faith. Amen. Because God has promised us great rewards. Amen. And it doesn't hurt for us to take those out of the Word every once in a while and polish them off, so to speak. Amen. To look at them and to see what He's promised to us. Amen. There's a reason why these scriptures are in the Word, so that we can be encouraged and we know what we're pressing for. We know what we're striving for. We know what God has promised us. Amen. We've been called to a high calling, brother, sister, a high calling. Amen. To take the name of Christ. Amen. To receive His name and to carry His name, to be called a Christian, to be identified with Christ. It means Christ-like, those that are like Christ. Amen. To be married to Him, to be espoused to Him, as Paul said. Amen. As a chaste virgin, to be part of His work in this last day, to be part of His church, to be part of His body. Amen. Amen. It's a high calling. Amen. 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 There's many that call themselves Christians in this age, many that have taken the name of Christ, many churches that call themselves Christian churches. Amen. But we know that many are counterfeit. Why? Because they do not hold to His word, or they do not live the character of Christ. They don't have His life on display. They've got a tradition. And maybe their forefathers walked with Him as much as they could understand and lived in the light that they were given. But down through time, those churches have left that. And there's many that claim, even in our move, to be a Christian and carry the name of Christ, yet without the life in them. Amen. Not being born again, not being regenerated by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we know, brother, sister, if there are fakes out there, if there are counterfeits, and the land is full of counterfeits, we see people calling on the name of Christ and living like the devil. Amen. But if there are counterfeits, that means that there are a real. Amen. Amen. You can't have a counterfeit dollar without a real dollar to counterfeit it from. So there must be real Christians. Amen. Amen. There must be genuine, born again sons and daughters of God living this word. Amen. Before the nations, holding a standard, showing what God was thinking when he spoke these words about His church. What He had truly in mind. It wasn't a lukewarm, it wasn't a wishy-washy, watered-down church. But it was a church filled with power. That's what He had in mind. A church walking in an overcoming power. Amen? Living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Living according to the word of God. Oh yes, making mistakes, but getting right back up and telling the devil, amen, that he can't dictate to her how she lives her life. Hallelujah. Of all the ages, brother, sister, we have the most, the restored word. Amen? We have the most understanding of this Bible more than any age except perhaps the first age. Right, but we've had all that restored to us, and we understand, we looking through the lens of history, we can see the word that's unveiled before us. Yeah. Amen. We of all people, the final church to the final age. Amen. We're not in the Alpha now, we're in the Omega, the ending time of the Gentiles, of the Gentile church. Amen. We of all people must be living like he's coming any day. Amen. Uniting with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The hour has come for the church to rise. This is the hour. Amen. Make no mistake. This true church will be perfectly one with Christ. United with him. Amen. Not holding anything back. Amen. He is her head. What he thinks, his thoughts, is how the church is thinking. His direction is, thus saith the Lord to her, and she moves on it. Amen. So tightly united with him that at some point he says, just walk a little higher. Like Enoch. Amen. You've been walking with me. Just walk a little bit higher. Come up. Come higher. That she would not hinder the coming of the Lord. Oh, brother, sister, that his coming is soon. Amen. Amen. We see sin being heaped up on all sides. Amen. We know by the darkness of this world, his coming is soon. What a calling. What a responsibility that we have. Amen. But brother, sister, with that calling and with that responsibility, there's benefits. Amen. There's rewards. There's things that God has given to us. And we should encourage ourselves in those things. Amen. It should stimulate us. We should be happy about it. You know, if somebody won the lottery, I wonder how quickly everybody would know. Right, they would call up every person. They would go through their phone, their contact list in their phone. Amen. Everybody would get a text. I won the lottery. Every family member. Amen. Long lost, you know, classmates, high school classmates, probably. Everybody would know. They'd put it on Facebook. They'd put it on Instagram. Amen. They'd let you know over and over and over. But what we have is so much greater. Amen. So much greater. Amen. We want to talk about the rewards of our faith this morning. Amen. Amen. So as we look at this scripture here in 1 Peter, we see some of the rewards promised to the believer. Amen. Those that have been begotten, it says. Amen. According to his abundant mercy hath he begotten us. To a lively hope. Begotten us to a lively hope. Being born into life. Amen? Amen. A living hope. Not a dead hope. Right. Not a hope in some historical idea or even a historical God. But a lively hope. It's living right now. Amen. Right where we are in our daily lives. That hope lives. Amen. We've been born into that life. Born by the resurrected Christ. Amen. Amen. Born of him through his resurrected power that raised him from the dead. Amen. That shook off the shackles of death. Amen. Amen. That's the hope that you've been born into. The hope, the power that looked death in the eye and said, you can't hold me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we think about death as such a great adversary and it has such finality and that's it. Death is a defeated enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, just as our natural birth, you know, depending on the family that we're born into or our natural circumstances, Our natural birth might entitle us to certain things in our inheritance, right? We might inherit things from our parents or our grandparents or whatever, whether it's, you know, from, you know, houses or whatever to small little things, knickknacks or whatever, things that mean something to them. But you inherit something. There's an inheritance, amen? Through our natural birth. But our spiritual birth has given us such an inheritance. By our natural birth, we didn't do anything to earn those that inheritance other than just being born into the family. Amen? That's the way it is with our spiritual inheritance as well. Something that we are entitled to by birth. Amen. 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 That's why they call it a birthright. Sure. Amen. A right by birth. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, our enemy would try and talk us out of our birthright. Sure. He would try to convince you that you don't deserve it and that, you know, it's not for you. It's for someone else. But he's the one that misses out. He's the one that's the loser. He's the one that has no legal right to it. He'll try to convince you that, you know, it's his. He possesses it. He possesses your health. And so because he possesses it, you can't have it. But it's yours. It's your birthright. He has no legal authority. Amen? He's a liar and a loser. Hallelujah. Amen. He was defeated at Calvary. Hallelujah. He, you know that there's no possible way. You know that it's interesting as one of the things in sports that's interesting and as computers have, I don't know if this interests you or not, but it interests me. So you'll have to bear with me a moment. You know, as computers have gotten better and, you know, they've gotten so many more statistics around sports and things, and it's amazing. They'll during a game, a sports game, they can actually compute like the probability that one team will win over another in real time. Like they'll do like one play will happen. And they'll be able to tell you, well, that changed the team's probability to win by this much, right? And you can actually see it. And they do it with the elections too, right? You ever seen, you know, presidential elections or whatever? Oh, the probability that this one's going to win as the votes come in, right? All with computers and things. Well, I want to tell you something about the probability that the devil's going to win. It's zero. It's never been anything but zero. It's never moved an inch. And it always will be zero. There's no possible way he can win. And there's no possible way you can lose. The sons and daughters of God are predestinated of God. Who can be against us? When the God of heaven is on your side. Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? It's 0% and 100%. That's the probability. Brother, sister, that's something we should be rejoicing about this morning. Amen. God, let us get the revelation of that. Amen. In your darkest hour when Satan comes to tempt you, that's what should be on your mind. Amen. Satan, you are lost. You're a loser. I have nothing to do with you. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I have an inheritance. Amen. And mine is incorruptible and undefiled. Amen. His is corruption and death and an end. Amen. That word in 1 Peter says our inheritance is incorruptible. Amen. Incorruptible. Now, brother, sister, you and I have never really experienced incorruption. in our natural sense. Right? Everything around us is corruptible. Everything. I mean, everything in this natural world, you know, we look at our own bodies, they're corruptible. Animal life, it's corruptible. Right? Plants, the earth, all of nature is fallen and is corruptible. It can be broken, right? It can be destroyed. It can decay. It can spoil. It can grow old. It can get weak. Amen? It's corruptible. It can rust. Amen? Whatever the case may be, everything around us experiences decay, age, and so forth. Amen? Our bodies are wonderfully made, and they're continually repairing themselves because we're continually experiencing decay. Right? Our body is continually, cells die, and you know, we have, our body is repairing cells and building new cells and all those things. But yet we're decaying the whole time. Amen? So much so that we even can measure and date things by the molecular decay that's going on. Everything is decaying in this natural world, down to the molecular level. Is that right? This fallen nature, this fallen world, it goes right down and it permeates everything that we know and have ever experienced. But our inheritance is incorruptible. Amen? Where we know weariness and trials, there it's rest and peace. Amen? It's forever. It's eternal, undefiled. It fadeth not away, the Bible says. Amen? Our lives will no longer be subject to these things. Amen? This earth will be changed to an incorruptible form, undefiled by sin. Amen? Not marred, but completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Fadeth not away. Amen. You put anything out in the sun, it fades. Right? Some things take longer than others, but everything fades eventually. The life fades from plants. Amen. Our bodies, the life fades from it. Amen. But, brother, sister, this inheritance doesn't fade. Amen. It fadeth not away. This is from the message, the Smyrnian church. It says, I will give thee a crown of life, since not even a cup of cold water given in the name of the Lord fails to receive a reward. How great shall be the reward to him who gives his life as a martyr for the name of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps we can get a small idea if we compare this crown with a crown worn in a race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul says, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. A crown given to the winner of the Olympic race was a garland of olive branches. But the crown spoken of here in Revelation given to a martyr is the crown of royalty. Jesus calls it the crown of life. The one crown is for those who have striven. The other is for those who have given. But crowns, both crowns are incorruptible. They will not perish. The winner of the worldly race of life will soon lose the joy of the plaudits of the world, and their glory will fail. But those who give their lives for God, either by daily striving or shedding their blood as the crowning sacrifice of their lives, will be given the crown of life. So notice he says it's not just martyrs. Right? It's not just martyrs in the sense of someone, you know, I'm going to kill you if you don't renounce Christ. And they refuse, and so they kill them, right, for their testimony. But we die daily. Amen. We give our lives as well. We give our lives every day over to Christ. Amen. He says, either by daily striving or shedding their blood, as the crowning sacrifice of their lives will be given the crown of life. Look, all too little time is spent on laboring for the eternal rewards of God. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. Not to spend too little time laboring for the eternal rewards of God. The recompense of God is too lightly esteemed. Amen. We don't want to make that mistake this morning. Amen. If we believe in the reality of the resurrection of the body and an eternal kingdom of substance, then we ought to lay up in heaven those good treasures that are available to the faithful saints. Praise the Lord. This promise is reserved for us, brother, sister. Amen. It is an inheritance for us. Amen. And we must strive. Amen. Daily. We must strive. We must not esteem it too lightly. Amen. It's worth our striving. Amen. It's worth our dying. Amen. And it's real. It's tangible. Amen. And brother, sister, it's reserved for you. Oh, I love that word that he uses there in 1 Peter. Amen. Where he said, it's reserved in heaven for you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Reserved in heaven for you. Now, we get an idea of reservation, like we're reserving a table or something, right? But that's not what he's talking about. Let me actually read you a little statement here from the Easter Seal, and then we'll talk about that a little bit more. This is from the message, the Easter Seal. And he says, God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, but he sealed the covenant by the seal of circumcision. And God gives you a promise, potentially, that you will receive it and you're going to be raised up. This body is going to be glorified with him at the end time, but you see, you have to get a clearance on that deed. And the clearance is when everything against it has been stricken off, and you've got the abstract to it, and you've got the seal. Then it's yours. Everything on it belongs to you. Amen. And when we believe on Jesus Christ for our Savior and repent and are baptized and come up to believe him, God recognizes our repentance and our faith towards him and sends down the abstract. And the abstract is the assurance. It's the guarantee that everything that was ever held against you was you thoroughly repented. Hallelujah. And the property is bought and you hold the abstract for the assurance. Amen. And we know that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the abstract that the promise has been reserved for you. Amen. That's the reservation. Amen. That your place in heaven is secure. That your portion of the inheritance is reserved for you. And you know because you've received the token. An assurance from God himself. Where he speaks to your heart. And he reveals to you personally, not through somebody, not third person or not your pastor saying or your mother or your father saying, but to you directly. Amen. Amen. That you have a reservation. Amen. Amen. That inheritance is now reserved for you. A moment ago when we read that and I said, you say reserved for me. Amen. The only way you can say that, I mean, you can speak the word, right? But the only way you can say it with revelation is if he's given you that revelation. If he's come and told you, you're my child. Amen. Amen. A great portion of heaven awaits you. Amen. You're part of my family. You're part of my program. I've given my life for you. Yes. Amen. Amen. And we see where he says that's what you need to know that. Amen. Everything has it's your assurance. It's the guarantee that everything that was held against you has been thoroughly repented of. Amen. Amen. So. This reservation takes care and importance. Amen? So I want to talk to you about that word there in 1 Peter, where he says, you have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The word there, reserved, means to attend to carefully. Amen? Or to take care of, to guard, to hold fast. Amen? Now, brother, sister, it's not you that's doing the reservation, the reserving. It's our Father. Blessed be God our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. He's the one that did it. He's the one that reserved it in heaven for you. He's the one that's attending to your inheritance carefully. He's guarding it. He's holding it fast. He's giving it attention. Brother, sister, this is, as I started to say a moment ago, this is not like a reservation to dinner or a reservation on an airplane. Amen? Or a hotel or something like that, where you call and you make a reservation, right? You call up, we've all done it probably, when we call up the restaurant and we say, yes, we'd like a reservation for 6 o'clock, right? And they write your name down, and they write your name down on a list, right? Well, they only have so many tables, right? And if you show up and all the tables are full, what happens? You wait. Right? And if that list is long enough, you might not get a table. Or you might be really hungry and decide, you know, we're out of here, man. We're going to McDonald's or something. Right? Taco Bell. Amen. 24/7 drive-through. No reservation needed. That's the type of reservation that has a limited supply. You get an airplane ticket. I've had it happen to me. Amen? Where, oh, you know, sorry, this flight's overbooked. What do you mean overbooked? I have a reservation. I have a ticket. That don't matter. They only have so many seats on that airplane. Sure. Right? And they can't physically put more people than there are seats. Right? This inheritance is not like that. This is not that type of reservation. I think people sometimes get it in their minds that way, that that's the way Christianity works. Well, you know, if I, you know, if I'm going to gain, you know, something in Christ, I've got to push somebody else out of the way. Or if I'm going to have a position, I've got to push somebody else out of that seat. No, that might be in, you know, airplanes and restaurants. But that's not how God runs his kingdom. Every child has a place. Amen? This is not a first come, first serve thing in God's economy. Amen? Every child has a place. Amen? Your reservation is your place. It's not just a generic seat, right? It's not, well, you show up and, oh, well, I'm glad you made it. I think we have a seat over here. Oh, that one's full. No, we'll get you this. No, it's your seat. It's your spot. Amen? And if you're not there, it's not filled. Amen. Only you can fill that spot. Amen. That's, you know, when we talk about, you know, we miss you when you don't come to church. You know, you might have the idea, well, you know, we have plenty of people and what, but no, but you aren't here. Yeah, there's other brothers and sisters here that can say amen, but nobody pulls on the word like you do. Nobody worships God the way you do. You say, oh, no, there's plenty of people to create an atmosphere and worship God. Maybe, but you know what? It's harder because you're not here. If everybody was here in their place, doing their part, amen, it's easier for everybody else. And nobody, brother, sister, can worship God like you can. We're all individuals. God is so great and so amazing. He has such diversity in His great bouquet of His church and His children. Amen. And none are identical. Not even identical twins are identical. Amen. Each individual has their own inheritance, which is their place in the economy of God, their position in the body of Christ, and nobody else can take it. Amen? That there's going to be, brother, sister, there's going to be a marriage supper one day. And we're talking about seats. Amen? Brother Brown said that the seats would be stretched from sky to sky. Amen? The redeemed of all the ages will be there.
Amen.
But you better be looking for your seat.
Amen.
Nobody can sit in your seat. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I don't. It's predestinated who you'll be sitting next to. You don't get to choose. Amen. You're not. We're not going to play musical chairs.
Right.
Right? Where there's one less seat than everybody. All the people. I think Brother Doug's talked about that. That it's kind of an evil game, isn't it? Amen. Amen. There's 10 people, but there's only 9 seats. That's horrible. That's not the way God runs His kingdom.
Amen.
You won't be looking to push somebody else out to get the best seat. Your seat is perfect for you. Amen. The great chairs stretch from sky to sky, brother, sister, and we'll have a celebration supper. Amen. You know, when there's a natural marriage and we break bread and we have, you know, a meal and a feast, is a time of happiness and joy, and it's a time of hope and looking towards the future and the blessings of what God has done and how God has brought these two people together, and now the families are celebrating, and the attendants, the friends and the family are all there, and it's a time of happiness and joy and celebration. Well, brother, sister, that's just a shadow. Amen? Of this time of rejoicing that the wedding supper will be. It'll be a time of unification. It'll be a time to catch up. Amen? Man, I haven't seen you, you know, in however many years. You died 20 years ago, and, you know, and wow, hi, I've never met you. You were from 200 years ago. But we'll get to know each other. Amen. Have a celebration. That's part of our inheritance. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And He said that all the Father giveth me shall come.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Knowing that all that the Father has given Him has a place. All that the Father has given Him, their names are known by Him. And He's attending to their inheritance.
Amen.
Amen. Reserving their inheritance. Reserving it for you. Working it out. Amen. There are those that haven't come to Christ yet, but they still have a reservation. That's why we're still here. There are those that the Father has given Him that He knows about. And He's working out their salvation. They have a reservation in the inheritance of God too. Amen. Oh, brother, sister. When you were out in the world and didn't know nothing about God, He was attending to your reservation. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. We think about family members. We think about children. Amen. We think about those, it looks bad. They're not serving God right now. Maybe they've quit on God. They've left church. Amen. But yet God is attentive.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And our children are part of our inheritance.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A reservation. God is carefully guarding that place. Oh, hallelujah. He said, all that the Father had given me will come. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. And then, you know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he was talking about. Amen. I go to prepare a place, an allotment. Amen. We would call it in the natural like a plot of ground. It's your land. Amen. It's your place. It's your position. It's your allotment in the inheritance. Amen. Just for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Each individual, just for you, and there's just the right number of them.
Right.
Amen. That's our inheritance, brother, sister. It's a new body. It's eternal life. Amen. It's the character of God.
Right.
It's our position in Christ. Amen. We're part of Christ's bride that's going to sit with him and rule and reign with him. That's part of our inheritance. Amen. The Father is carefully attending to that, making sure that we have the character to be able to sit in that place. Amen. It's just like in the natural of a house, a man and his family are preparing to receive a bride. He's preparing a home for her. Amen. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Amen. Brother, sister, don't you think it's going to be wonderful?
Amen.
Don't you think it's going to be worth anything that we could,
Amen.
You know, give up here? Amen. All these little things that we hold so dear here on earth. I think that's going to be worth it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. His character. You know, we are going to spend eternity experiencing Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Searching out his character and experiencing him. His glory, his splendor.
Yes.
For eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Never be able to find the end of it. Hallelujah. That's hard to relate to, right?
Sure.
You know, he never changes. His character is perfect. He doesn't learn. He doesn't grow because he's perfect.
Right.
I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to relate to that. Right? We've always experienced change.
Amen.
I was meditating on this here a couple weeks ago, how, you know, our condition, our life has been nothing but change. From the day we're born, we're experiencing change. Is that right? We don't really, you know, we try as parents or families or whatever for our children to have what we call maybe a stable home, a stable environment, right? We try and bring stability to their life, to children's lives, and it helps them and nurtures them and all those things. But really, even in that, there's no stability in it. You know, there's a certain amount of stability maybe just in the family life or routine and things like that. But they're changing, right? There's nothing static about it, right? Static means not changing, right? Sorry, engineering term. Dynamic, static. We only experience change. Change is constant. Amen? Amen. We have gotten so good at adapting, and humans are adaptable because that's all we do, is adapt. Amen? Your body, you know, you go through, you know, your childhood and you grow and you go through changes and you get to adulthood and then your body starts doing other things, right? It gets older and you're changing the whole time. And we grow as people spiritually.
Yeah.
Right? We're actually gaining character. From the moment that we're born, we change. From the moment we're born again, we're gaining character. We're gaining natural character from the time we're born. We're gaining spiritual character by the time, or from the time we're born again. Amen? Now, our souls have eternal life, but we're actually gaining character. Even though we're sealed into the kingdom of God, we're actually growing and experiencing change. Is that right? Every battle we fight. Amen. Every trial that we go through, we're gaining something. We're actually gaining wealth. Amen. We go through different phases of life where we gain friends, we gain family, we lose friends, we lose family. Amen. We become parents, or we aren't parents, or we get married, or we don't get married, or whatever, all these different phases of our lives. But all of them work together. Amen. And they're forming in us character. And this character is not static. It changes and grows over time. But brother, sister, there will come a time where we won't change. We will experience for once and for all, we will not change. We will not experience change anymore. I about blew a brain cell when I thought about that. I don't know what that's like. Do you? No, you don't. The character that we are developing, the things that God is producing in us, in our lives, there's a point where we stop. Amen? When we pass on, that's it. Amen. Our brother Dave Green, you know, he's right at that crossing over point. As we would say, he's coming up to the shores of the Jordan River, crossover. Once he crosses over, he stops. His character is finished. Amen. Well, that's kind of a sad thought, maybe. Why are you bringing that up? Because, brother, sister, this is the opportunity that we have now. This is why we're here. Amen. Let's go back into 1 Peter chapter 1 here, verse 5. It says, we who are kept, we're kept by the power of God. Not our power, His power. Amen. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. There's going to be a great revealing, a great unveiling. Well, what is so wonderful that it could warrant a great revealing? A great unveiling. What is so wonderful that it deserves that? Well, it's not our flesh. Amen. It's not our accomplishments. It's not anything in our lives that we did, but it's the character that He has manifested in us by His power. Amen. Verse 6. In this we greatly rejoice. Amen. Wherein we greatly rejoice in these things. In this inheritance. Amen. In this reservation. In this great unveiling. We rejoice. Even though, right now, for a season. And He can say for a season because it doesn't last forever. It's a space of time that you and I have. A season. That season might be our entire life, right? Though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness. through manifold temptations. Oh, Peter. Rejoicing in heaviness. Amen? This is a source of our joy.
Right. My goodness.
Be exceeding glad for what we have in store for us.
Amen.
But I'm in heaviness. I'm in temptation. I'm in tests. I'm in trials. Greatly rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's changing you.
Right.
Yes.
There's going to come a time when the season of change ends. And you won't have an opportunity to go from glory to glory any longer. But what we have in store for us is a bright future, brother, sister. Amen? Amen. It's the knowledge of this that overrides suffering. It overrides the heaviness of the trials of life. Amen? Manifold means many or varied. Somebody say, yeah, praise God, that's the truth. Many and varied are my trials. Temptation is putting to proof. Amen? A trial that proves. What's it proving? It's proving that character. Amen? But rejoice knowing there's a purpose behind it. It's not in vain. It's not random. It's not bad luck. Oh, man, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You've heard that before, right? There's no such thing for a child of God. You aren't experiencing random trials. Amen? What you are experiencing is a carefully attended to inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Though you're in heaviness, though it weigh you down. Yeah, you know what? Weightlifting is hard. Ask a weightlifter. They're under heaviness, they're under strain, but they deem the end result worth it. No pain, no gain. That's what they say. Right? And I'm sure that some of the new exercise things are even crazier than that. But they've deemed it worthy. Amen? They're looking to the end result. Oh, but brother, sister, God is, He's tenderly attending to your inheritance. He's making sure that you are going to grow in the character of Christ. Amen? That time of great unveiling, that you'll be shining like a star. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 7, the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. Hallelujah. That gold perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. This trial of our faith. Amen. It's locking in this character. Amen. It's cementing in our faith. It's testing it and trying it and burning it in to our being. Amen. Fire heat, it molds it and shapes it so that it cannot be moved. We start out life naked with nothing. Right? As a baby, you start out naked with nothing. And your entire life is about accumulating and accumulating and accumulating. And I'm speaking in the spiritual now. I'm not talking about natural things. We don't care about accumulating natural things. We come into this world a blank slate spiritually. We don't have character. Amen. We come in with a blank slate and we're predestined to end up with Christ-like character. That just doesn't happen accidentally. We end up with a character that's a glory to be revealed. That doesn't just happen with a flowery bed of ease. That doesn't just happen with everything's fine and we just, you know, the path of easiness. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. You go from 0 to 100. Amen. From blank slate to bride of Christ. Let me read you a statement here out of the Laodicean Church Age. He says, "You had better come before it's too late, saith the Lord, and buy of me gold tried in the fire." Now, to buy means to pay a price.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
We don't pay that price. You're not giving natural gold for this gold. You're not giving U.S. dollars for it either. Amen? You're paying a price. You're dying out. You're going through trials. He says, "Buy of me gold tried in that fire, and then you will be truly rich." Are we getting it? Listen to me. Naked physically we came into the world, but naked spiritually we will not leave it.
Right.
Oh no, we are going to take something with us. What that something is all we can take with us.
Amen.
Amen. We're not taking any of our natural possessions with us. But we are taking our character with us. Amen. He says, that is all we can take with us. Nothing less, nothing more. So we had better be real careful now to see that we take something that will make us right before God.
Amen.
Amen. There's only one thing that you take with you. He says, what will that one thing that we take with us? We will take our character, brother. That is what we will take with us. Now, what kind of character will you take with you? Will it be like his, whose character was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction? Or will it be the softness of this characterless Laodicean people? It's up to each one of us. For in that day, every man will bear his own burden. Amen. Character is no longer emphasized in this world. Amen? It's not lifted up. It's not held up as a standard. It's not held up as something to be desired, to be strived for in this present world. Amen? Instead, what's lifted up? It's things like your happiness and your gratification. Whatever makes you happy. Right, whatever floats your boat. Right, whatever gets you. What, you know, live your best life now. Live your, you know, live for you. Right, these are all emotions. These are all fickle things. And yet, our world tells us that's what we should be striving for, and that's what's lifted up. They're lifted up as gods, like we would worship them. We worship at the altar of self-gratification. Amen. This world worships at the altar of me and whatever I want. That's what so many of these movements are about. And this world is designed to cater to every part of that. Amen. But as Christians, we're interested in character. Isn't that right? Aren't we? Amen. Amen. We are interested in character. God has so much better for us. Amen. Such a better inheritance because it's lasting. You can take it with you. Amen. Nobody can take it from you. Something real, something incorruptible, something that doesn't change. Amen. We we do this by sacrificing our own desires. We sacrifice our feelings for others. Amen? We choose to speak the word. We choose to say what God says. We choose to let His will prevail. We choose to speak His word no matter what the circumstance is. Amen? We choose not to look at our own senses, what our senses tell us, but what the word says. That builds character. We allow that word to change us. That means we submit. Amen? Another thing that's lifted up in this, in our present world, is our rights. Because we have a right to be happy. That's what the world will tell you. Right? You've got a right to this and you've got a right to that. But the Christian lays down their rights. Amen? And they submit to the Word of God. They submit to His will. Being molded and shaped. We repent of our old thinking. We repent of our old ways. Amen? And when our flesh rises up, we repent on its behalf. And we put it under us. Amen. By the Word of God. Amen? Being molded and shaped in His character. That's why we come to church. To let the Word change us. Amen. To gain wealth. Amen. Amen? To accumulate wealth in God's economy. Amen. To gain character. Letting His Word change us. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for that. This is our opportunity, brother, sister. You know, every church service you miss is a missed opportunity. You've only got so many. You know, it's funny because, you know, a moment ago I was speaking about, you know, this world and how it's designed and catered for, you know, worship of self-gratification. And you'll hear about these, you know, little phrases like, you know, things that are like motivational things, right? Motivational things to try and get you to achieve and to do things. And, you know, you've only got so many opportunities and so many days and so much time. And, you know, so make it count, right? Make every day count. And there's people that get up early so that they can, you know, work hard and achieve their dreams and all these things, right? You've probably seen motivational posters or things on Facebook, right? Motivational things. And the thing is that there's a kernel of truth there, right? You do only have so much time, right? And you should redeem the time. But what are you using it for is the question, right? And it's true that you've only got so many days. But look at it like this, brother, sister. You've only got so many church services. Amen. You've only got so many days, so many opportunities. You don't know when your last opportunity will come. So take advantage of it. Amen? Amen. Just a couple more. Is that all right? What time it is? All right. Identification. It says we've got to take the entire full gospel. We must. And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in His image, that we might reflect His presence. And the works that I do, shall you do also. Right? When you reflect His presence, you'll do His works. Right? He says, the life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take Him as an example and let our character be molded like His. What a thing. My. Then when we let His character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, the mind which is His character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you, and it molds the character of a son of God. Amen. 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 Molding that character Is that worth it? Is it worth it to have the character of Christ? Amen. This inheritance isn't just about his character, but it's about his presence. Amen. It includes perfect fellowship with him. My. He's somebody that you want to be around. Amen. We've all been around people that we don't like to be around. Amen. We understand that there are people that have, you know, they just have that dark cloud. Right? And then there are other people that you want to be around because they create an atmosphere. There's a character there that creates an atmosphere and you want to be around them. And then there's other people that create another kind of atmosphere. They have a different kind of character. Amen? And they just bring you down and down, right? They always need to be lifted up. But you see that those people that have that character of Christ, man, you want to be around them. They have a pleasant atmosphere. Amen? We are creators in that way. We create an atmosphere, but it's because he's living in us. Right? And you want to be around a true Christian because he's there. It's his presence that makes the difference. Amen? It's his presence. And so to have his fellowship. Amen? To be in his presence. It's something that is joy and peace. You know, people, they take all kinds of things for us, a sense of well-being, right? Have you ever heard the, there used to be a book out, I suppose it's still around, but it was a book called Chicken Soup for the Soul. I've never read it, but I've read the title, right? And just by the title, I understand what they're talking about, right? Everybody, chicken soup has the reputation. I was about to say everybody thinks that, but not everybody likes chicken soup. I'm not a fan myself, right? But it kind of has that reputation as it's a comfort food. Why didn't they say ice cream? Right? But the idea is that, you know, it's a food that gives you a sense of well-being. And people search after traditions, and they sometimes food or smells or different places or people will give them that sense of well-being. You know, as a child, maybe you experience things. I know for me, I have many fond memories of like holidays and family and sense. So when I'm in that atmosphere, it kind of gives me that sense again, that kind of just that little sense of well-being as a child where you're taken care of, right? And people seek after those things. And sometimes they use candles or essential oils or things like that that can actually give you that, right? But really, brother, sister, what we want is his presence. His presence will give you the ultimate sense of well-being. Amen. There's nothing like his presence. In fact, I think we sing a song like that, right? Nothing like the presence. Nothing like the presence. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. Right? And part of our inheritance, brother, sister, is we'll never leave. His presence. Amen. That little taste that we get in a good Holy Ghost meeting when the power of God is falling and you can feel the Spirit of God. Amen. And you're just lifted up on eagle's wings. And oh, that sense we get that everything is okay. Amen. And there's, you know that it's all going to be all right. And it's just a sense of well-being, if I could just describe it that way. Amen. Brother, sister, we will never leave that. There'll never be doubt. There'll never be any fear. We'll just be in perfect fellowship with him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that's worth it. I believe that that's worth it, don't you? Amen. Let just a couple more here. This is from the Ephesian church age. He says, now, to these sons of God, who by him overcome, are given the privilege of the paradise of God and the constant fellowship with Jesus Christ. There will never be no more any separation from him. Whither he goes, his bride will go. What is his, he shares with his beloved on a joint heir relationship. The secret things will be revealed. The dark things will be made plain. We shall know as we are known. We shall be like him. This is the heritage of the overcomer who has overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have so many questions in life. Why? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Why this? Why that? Amen. And what does this mean? And I don't know what's going to happen over here. And I'm afraid of this, and this is coming. And it's shadows of darkness, brother, sister. We have so many questions. Maybe questions of doctrine, questions of the word. But you know, honestly, if we're honest, I think that those questions of doctrine don't mean so much to us as just questions of life, right? Questions about relationships and questions about ourselves and things that we've gone through or are going through. Things we're afraid of and we wonder about, but all of that will be wiped away. Amen. There will be never a doubt. Amen? Amen? Our understanding will be lightened. No more darkness. We'll understand the things of life. We'll look back. We'll understand everything that happened and why it's happened. And we see the hand of God in it. Amen. One day every question will be answered. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Just a couple more quotes here, if that's all right. Pergamene church age. He says, now there's also the thought of the future partaking of the hidden manna. I think it will be the eternal partaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the eternal ages to come. How else could we begin to know the unsearchable riches of his being? All that we have longed to know, all our unanswered questions, all that will be revealed. It will be from Christ, who is our life, that we receive it. Oh, sometimes we think we get to know a little of him and his word down here, and it's so good and it makes us rejoice. But one day when our flesh changes that word, and he will become what we had never dreamed possible. Amen. 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 The unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. This is a reward for our faith. Amen. Amen. But brother, sister, today we must walk in this faith. Amen? We must not falter. We will reap the rewards of this faith, but we must walk in it. We must hold to it. We must stand on the word. Amen? This word, brother, sister, will get us there. It will get us home. He gave us his word for that purpose. Amen? He gave us what we need. We've got to trust him and hold to it. Amen. Not try and add our own, you know, mortal thinking and our own part to it, but just take it, hold it, walk in it. Amen. Amen. Last quote here. Laodicean church age. He says, now then, there will not be one person who will sit in the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ unless he has been living that word. Not one person. Unless they've been living that word. He says, your prayers, your fasting, your repentances, no matter what you present to God. Now what he's talking about, I mean, he's not saying don't pray and don't fast and don't repent. He's not saying that at all. What he's saying is people that are doing their own works. People make prayers, right, as works. public prayers, public fastings. Amen? Repentance is like digging up the priest's body that, you know, killed Joan of Arc, right? Things for a public show. These are works of man. He's not talking about true repentance, right? Because you have to do that. But he says, no matter what you present to God, your works, in other words, none of that will gain you the privilege of sitting in that throne. It will be granted only to the Word Bride. As the throne of the King is shared with the Queen, because she is united to Him, so only they who are of that Word. Only who are of that Word, even as He is of that Word, will share that throne. Amen. That living Word. Not just doctrines, but He says that living Word. Amen. Living the Word. No one will sit in that throne unless they've been living the Word. Amen. That means repenting of our flesh and submitting to the Word. Surrender, living to the Word. Glory into glory, bit by bit, piece by piece. That's how we obtain this inheritance. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Finally, we want to read in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of this calling? And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened just a little bit more this morning is my prayer. That we may know the hope of this calling. Amen. The hope of this calling. We are not hopeless. We have a bright future. We have a great hope. And the riches of this inheritance, the glory of this inheritance, it's reserved for you. It's reserved for the sons and daughters of God. Brother, sister, it's worth whatever we can go through here on earth. Amen. It's worth it this morning. And we need to remind our enemy that we're the winners. He's the loser in this. Amen. He doesn't have a hope in his calling. He doesn't have riches and glory in his inheritance. He's trying to talk you out of yours. He'll take you down with him. But he's a loser. Yes. And we're the winners this morning. Yes. Amen? Yes. Oh, what price can we put on this, brother, sister? What price would we pay? And yet he's paid for it all. All we have to do is accept it, receive it, and walk in it. Amen? Don't be weary in well-doing, amen? Great rewards for our faith. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we thank you, Lord. Lord, for your great power. As your word says, it's to us, Lord, who would believe. Your great power and strength is working on our behalf. Attending to our inheritance, Lord. Oh God, help us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we're so blinded Lord, by what's right in front of us, Lord, the trial that's right in front of us, the circumstance that's screaming for our attention, Lord, our flesh, Lord, that rails against the Word of God, and it screams out, and it's speaking about this mortal time, Lord God. It's speaking about this fear that it has, Lord. What about this and what about that? Oh God, help us to lay aside all of that this morning. Help us, Lord, I pray, Lord, to look to the riches of the glory of this inheritance, Lord. Though we be in heaviness for a time, we understand that. We know that those times and trials will come. But we know that it's for a purpose, Lord, because You're our Father. Abba, Father. And You're working it all out for our good. I pray that You would encourage Your people here this morning, Lord. Though they be weighted down, Lord, with manifold temptations, Lord, may there be a hope spring forth in their hearts this morning. May there be a light, Lord, that flickers and burns bright, oh God, in the heart of the believer this morning, Lord, knowing that Your word is true. Heaven and earth may pass away, but this word will never pass away. It will never fail. Every jot, every tittle, every dot, every line is true, and it will come to pass. Praise Your name, Lord. Father, I pray that faith would just burn in the hearts of Your children this morning. That no matter what comes their way, oh God, they know that You're working out. Lord, these trials for their good, You're developing a character in them. Thank You, Father. Thank You for this word, Lord. Thank You for encouraging us, Lord. We love You. We thank You, Lord. May we just praise You through every storm of life, through every temptation, through every trial. May we walk in victory this morning. In Jesus' name. For it's in Jesus' name that we overcome, Lord. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord, I pray that You would help those this morning that are bowed down with a weight of care, oh God. I pray that You lift them up, Lord. Lord, I pray that Your presence would come and just lift them up on eagle's wings, Lord. That it would come and bear them, oh God. Lord, lift them up on Your shoulders and carry them through, oh God. May we surrender to You completely this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all these things, Lord. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for everything that He's done for you this morning, brother, sister? Amen. Let's just thank Him then this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nothing like the presence. Amen. There's nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of the Lord. Nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's healing in His presence. There's healing in His presence, healing in His presence, healing in the presence of the Lord. There's healing in the presence, healing in the presence, healing in the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of the Lord. nothing like His presence, brother, sister. Amen. Let's just worship Him this morning. The presence of the Lord. And I'm healed in His presence. I'm healed in His presence. I'm forgiven. I'm not the same. I've been changed. Yes, I'm free in His presence, and I'm healed in His presence. I'm forgiven. I'm not the same. I'm changed forever in His presence. There's nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence. There's deliverance in His presence, deliverance in His presence. Deliverance in His presence. There's deliverance in the presence of the Lord. There's deliverance in His presence. Deliverance in His presence. Deliverance in the presence of the Lord. There's peace in His presence. Peace in His presence. Peace in His presence, peace in the presence of the Lord. There's peace in the presence, peace in the presence, peace in the presence. Amen. You just need to receive it this morning. And I